Okay, welcome to Crane Lane. It's well after midnight. It's going on to 12:30, and I'm sitting here with a poet whose main interest is in the sonnet form. Now, I'm going to ask him, actually, to tell me, answer one question, because it's very noisy here. But will you please tell me something good? I mean, most of us had sonnets shoved down our neck, you know? And we got away from them eventually. But will you please say something positive about a sonnet?
Yes, it's short.
Right, and that's a bit like, you know, one of my main reasons for being attracted to poetry was you didn't have to fill both ends of the line. Right? There's a whole load of empty space on the page. But give us another feature of a sonnet that you like.
It looks like a square. And being a very square person, I like the blank spaces in between. I like the fact that it is like a grape where all the seeds are in the middle. I like the fact it's like an atomic bomb where they can explode and be splashed all over the place. I like the fact that it is shape and structure, even though I'm quite anarchic myself. I like the fact that I'm just talking bullshit because I'm very good at that, and the sonnet manages to keep me under a certain amount of control.
Right, I see. Now tell me, you are the man who invented the Cork sonnet. I'd like you to please, now we know about Petrarchan sonnets, and we know about Shakespearean sonnets and the Miltonic variations accordingly, but will you please give us the line on the Cork sonnet?
Well, the thing about the Cork sonnet is that it's 14 and a half lines, because they can't quite complete it, they can't quite get over the line, and there's always a dangly bit at the end, and that's why you have the Cork sonnet.
Now look, I this will need to be historically attributed to you, so do you want to tell us your name, or will I just call you Anonymous?
You better call me Anonymous, because my academic and otherwise reputation, such as it is, would be totally fucking in bits and pieces and tatters and rags and so on if I was to admit to what I really do in my secret dark moments between Crane Lane, O'Vale, and wherever else we happen to be.
Now, I can tell you one thing about this man, which is not to identify him, but he's not speaking his own native language now. He's actually a bit like Joseph Conrad, you know. He's in his, I don't know, English is what, your third, fourth, or fifth language, I imagine.
Yeah, something like that. I never know which my first language is. It depends on which language I wake up in the morning and who is sitting there beside me. Maybe it's a foxy lady by my bed. I never know, but I'm very happy whichever one it is. As long as I can get up and keep talking and keep talking about anything, about poetry or about prose or about sonnets or about dangly things or bits, I am very happy.
So there you have it, folks. You now know what the Cork sonnet is. I'm saying good night, good evening. Crane Lane is absolutely full. We were thrown out of the Long Valley, where we overstayed our welcome, I'm afraid. And the poets have retired to Crane Lane, where Cork is celebrating the victory in the All-Ireland football. So it's Paul O'Mahony saying goodbye to you all. Cheerio for now. Goodbye.
No, it's not.